Yes, indeed. Wordplay official there on the introduction. Welcome into the Tuesday, September 12th edition of The Lowdown. We thank you so much for being here with us. That is Jason Ross. I am Damian Barling. You are listening to two people who could not have been more wrong about the outcomes of Monday Night Football. So how about that? There were two games to be wrong on. We were wrong on both of them. Sneak peek for winners and losers of week one coming up at 2 o'clock. I am in the loser category. For a number of different reasons. But we're bringing that back. That's at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Jay Ross and I are going to kick something off at 1 o'clock. One small thought. Today we'll analyze the NFC. All four divisions. We'll touch on every team in the conference and give you a little thought that we have on each of those teams. The Lakers are retiring two jerseys this year. I'll save that story for when Doug Christie is around listening. The Indians continue to win. The Dodgers continue to lose. We got all of that on the way. We'll get you updated with all the NFL stuff. We'll get into Monday Night Football last night. But first, we got to start with your Sacramento Kings. Vlade Divac, Bobby Jackson, Peja Stojakovic, and Doug Christie are going to be doing the final hour of the drive tomorrow in the Wingstop soundstage. And we want you to be able to hang out with those four Sacramento Kings legends. So, all you got to do is text this word to 441140. That word, sound, as in soundstage.
Okay.
Text the word sound to 441140. We only have two more opportunities for you to win and be a part of this. That is coming at the very top of the 1 o'clock hour and at the very top of the 2 o'clock hour. All right, so it's going to be a fun event tomorrow at the Wingstop soundstage. All right, Jay Ross, let's get into this. Monday Night Football, let's start with, I guess we'll just go in order of the games. The Minnesota Vikings, boy, were you wrong.
Yeah, what we got wrong, can we
don't
just continue?
Don't put me in that, no, put me in we. Yeah, no, I was definitely wrong.
I was just continuing the 2 o'clock hour yesterday. What we got wrong, the list was long yesterday. Just gross, right?
I have a feeling this is going to happen a lot this football season. But, yeah, this entire week has been a what we got wrong episode.
Yeah.
And, yeah, first of all, Sam Bradford, my sincerest apology. Sam Bradford set a record last year for the highest completion rate through an entire NFL season. He continued that trend last night, completing 27 of 32 passes. However, much like Alex Smith did on Thursday night, he gave every one of you game manager name callers a double Stone Cold Steve Austin middle finger.
Mm-hmm.
346 yards, three touchdowns, and a 143 quarterback rating. And your boy at running back, not bad for the Minnesota Vikings.
Mm-hmm. I would say, you know, we got winners and losers coming up, but we've talked yesterday a little bit about teams that had great week ones. I mean, Minnesota, you shut down the Saints' running game. The defense was good. Breeze, I mean, threw one touchdown. Almost got 300, but one touchdown. I had to work for that whole thing. Your running game, your rookie, was great. Bradford, super efficient. Defense, solid. Home crowd was just into it. I don't know that you could have had a much better week one. Minnesota was sharp, really sharp. And, you know, there are different ways to quarterback. I don't love the game manager feel and tone and theme. But when you're on and you don't make mistakes, and like you said, Damian, five incompletions, what a night for him. They look good.
Again, he led the league. He set a record. He set an NFL record last season. And we looked at his numbers last year. That wasn't we looked at his numbers yesterday during the pregame. We didn't have the sound up. We were just kind of watching as we were wrapping up things on the show. Sam Bradford was out on the field. And we looked at his total of yards, which I think was close to 4,000. We looked at the touchdown to interception ratio, single digit interceptions, 20 touchdowns. It was like, gosh, his season wasn't that bad.
Right.
They couldn't string together wins. His completion percentage wasn't up there. But, man, again, much like Alex Smith, this is a hell of a way for him, for two teams in the Chiefs and the Vikings, who you kind of go into the season like, okay, we know about their defense. And we think we know about their offense. So what are we really going to get from them? If that is any indication of what we're going to get from Minnesota this year, and I know it's early, and this game, I think, says a lot, not only about Minnesota. It might say a lot about the New Orleans Saints, and we'll get to them here in a heartbeat. But that could make for a significantly more competitive division than maybe we thought it would be.
Yeah, and what's interesting when I think about those two quarterbacks specifically that you're talking about, Bradford and Alex Smith, those two teams feel like those are their quarterbacks. It's not a debate who should be quarterback. They're comfortable with it being Alex Smith. They're comfortable with it being Sam Bradford. But you get the feeling if they could upgrade, they would do it. But how do you upgrade? I mean, it's not a, you know, McCown situation or a Bortles situation. They've got their quarterback, but they're just kind of in that spot where they're good. But how can they be better? How can they improve that position? Well, when those guys play like that, it's tough to improve that position. And so Bradford to be sharp like that, the complete offensive package that the team had, and then defensively, you know that's going to be one of their strong points. So you're right, that division, I mean, all of a sudden, the Bears nearly pulled off a win.
Yeah.
And then all the other teams won. So, I mean, that was a good weekend for that division.
Yeah, when we go over the NFC here in a little bit, I had the NFC South as one of the teams I had to talk about. It was the Falcons that beat them. And Jordan Howard had the touchdown pass to win the game in his hands.
Mm-hmm. Looked early.
Not figuratively.
Yeah.
He had it in his hands.
Yeah.
And as you're right, he looked, the ball fell off. And
that would have been a 4-0 week.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, for a division that we said, that's Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And what else? Probably not another playoff team.
You got Chicago coming from behind. You got Detroit coming from behind. And then you got Minnesota dominating from the opening kickoff.
Yep.
Now, the other team. We questioned where would Adrian Peterson fit into this offense? What would his role be? And I can tell you, headed into week two, the questions will be, where does Adrian Peterson fit in this offense, and where should he be? There were no questions that surround the New Orleans Saints that were answered last night, other than those people who think they're headed down the other side of that hill that they stood on for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only people who may be justified in saying, oh, yep, there's my answer.
Yeah, I think there's two points that the Saints could maybe be optimistic. One would be, I think initially they wanted to run. Remember yesterday I said, I think this team wants to run more. At the end, though, the pass to run distribution was heavy pass because they were trailing and trying to chase the game.
21-37.
Yeah, and early on, though, they were trying. They were trying Peterson. They were trying Kamara. They were trying Ingram. And it's like, okay, I think, one, they were facing a great defense. Number two, Willie Snead is a good weapon for them, the receiver that suspended the first three games. Mm-hmm. That's a reality. He'll be out. I think he'll help them. But how about no shame in losing to Minnesota on the road. You were punked a little bit. Now you have to play New England,
who's coming off a loss
and has extra time. It just, you know, it's in New Orleans. That's the better option, but 0-2 is a strong possibility.
I mean, playing New England's always a good time to try to figure things out, right?
Right. That's what I encourage. With Belichick with some extra time.
Let's figure some stuff out. Put it all together out there.
Yeah, why not?
I'm sure they're not angry at all.
No.
Or even maybe slightly embarrassed.
Yeah. Short week for you. Longer time for them. Yeah. Good luck.
I mean, they have the shortest week possible, right? I guess San Diego and
Denver last night.
Thank you. I guess San Diego and Denver have the shortest week possible, given that they played afterwards. But yeah, that's a tough matchup for them. Dalvin Cook, I mentioned your boy.
Mm-hmm.
That is your boy. He had a hell of a start to his season.
What was he, 120
to his NFL 127 on 22 carries. Not bad.
Yeah, looked sharp. Looked good. Yeah.
That's what the crowd was thinking as they booed him when he ran out on the field, by the way.
Yeah, and the first time, how about I felt for Latavius Murray, too? His first touch, it's like, okay, here he goes. Whoop, fumbled. And they got it back, but just not the way he wanted to start either. But, yeah, Adrian had an interesting night.
I'm sure he was hoping for the Kareem Hunt, and he didn't get the opportunity to have that as Dalvin Cook controlled that portion of Minnesota's game quite well, which, by the way, if you recall last year with McKinnon as their guy, that's what they were lacking. They were lacking in the run game. And I didn't think Latavius Murray was going to be able to make up for that or be really any better than what they had last year. But Dalvin Cook is significantly.
He looked legit. That was nice.
However, let me play the other side here and be fair. New Orleans has never been a good defensive team.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, New Orleans has always been a very bad defensive team. So we can pick apart. Again, it's week one. We got to overreact to everything because we only have a one-game sample size now for all but two teams in the entire NFL. And Dalvin Cook's look like rookie of the year. He's the guy. Sam Bradford, MVP, him and Alex Smith. They got to be two. I think
the leaders right now?
Yeah, I think Chris sent us a stat yesterday that Alex Smith and Jared Goff were the two leading quarterbacks in the NFL. I have to imagine Sam Bradford has moved up there into the first, second, or third spot. But again, you have to point out and you have to be fair to the entire story is New Orleans has always been bad defensively. Mm-hmm. They were bad yesterday defensively. They couldn't maintain drives. They couldn't get anything going. They relied on Drew Brees a whole lot, who wasn't – he wasn't bad, but
– he wasn't exceptional.
As you noted, they went away from the run game. And then if you have a defense as good as Minnesota and you start to sniff, oh – they've given up already.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian Peterson is throwing, angry faces on the sideline. Mark Ingram, they're not able to get anything going here. We're teeing off on Drew Brees from here on out.
Yeah.
And that's essentially what they did.
And what New Orleans will look at, too, is they scored 5 times, 4 field goals.
Mm-hmm.
So Brees usually makes, if 2 of those are touchdowns instead of field goals, they probably still lose, but... you know, they lose by right now. They lose by 10. Do they win that game? Is it a different fourth quarter? It just they were getting too many field goals, and that credit to me goes to Minnesota's defense.
Text Nation is funny. How many times have I said San Diego since the show has started?
Oh, if you have,
you haven't even noticed.
I didn't even pick it up. Yeah, probably. Two or three.
Text Nation, I owe you a drink every time I say San Diego moving forward.
Yeah.
There was a lot of hyperbole going on last night. That was Sam Bradford's best game ever.
Yeah, I don't know about that. He was good, though.
Statistically, that was Sam Bradford's best game ever.
Yeah.
There was no hyperbole in that. It was legitimately his best game ever. He completed 84.4% of his passes and averaged. We've seen him do that mm-hmm. before. He averaged, this we haven't seen, 10.8 yards per pass.
Yeah, it's usually just check down, dump off. He was getting it downfield a little bit.
If a story comes out, would the greatest NFL story of week one be if a video emerges of Sam Bradford and Alex Smith working out together in the offseason?
Throwing routes to each other. Go deep!
It would be the greatest thing ever. Yeah. The absolute greatest thing ever. Can I give you some numbers here?
Yeah.
Which I didn't know until this morning as we were preparing. 7-9, 1-9, 7-8-1, 3-4, 7-7, and 7-8. Those are Sam Bradford's numbers as a starting quarterback. Mm. I had no idea he has never been on a team that has been above 500.
And with that said, he's going to get paid this next summer.
Again.
Mm-hmm.
Again.
Someone's going to want him, whether it's Minnesota.
How many first-round picks have been used on Sam Bradford?
Yeah. You're right.
Between the
real
initial
one.
Taking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Philly.
Mm-hmm. And then Minnesota. Yeah. And whether he stays a Viking or, I mean, we can list the teams that Sam Bradford would make better. I mean, all these bottom, you know, could the Niners use him? Could the Colts right now use him? Could Jacksonville? I mean, there's a ton of teams that would be, I don't know if they're overly thrilled to have Sam Bradford, but he would make them better.
Based on what the stadium looked like in San Jose, I'm not sure, Santa Clara, I'm not sure how many 49er fans are left out there.
Mm-hmm.
But whichever ones are remaining, I just think you made them all vomit.
Was that real, by the way? Like some of the pictures?
I
saw one with the teams on the field. And wait, I see Carolina. I see the four. Is this real?
One, I think people posted pictures, and if you were there, and actually there were some people in the building. I guess we could go ask them during the commercial break who were there for the game. But the pictures I saw, one was taken right after halftime, which I think is always a little bit
that was
deceitful. Bad. Oh, no, that if was really,
that must
there
be the
is
one I
no
saw.
Way there were 60,000 people at the concession stand at the time.
Yeah, because the one, if we're thinking about the same one, I mean, generously, it looked like there was about 2,000 in there.
I think that one you're talking about was Ann Killian, and I'm pretty sure she said this is right at the start of the second half.
Okay,
but that... I mean, hey, you watch any NBA game, and right when they come back from the break, you're like, where is it? Oh, it's halftime. This, like you said, there's not 60,000 people, you know, using the restroom.
Sean Spicer tweeted it was the biggest 49ers game of all time. Thank you. Sean Spicer reference here on a Tuesday on the Lowdown. Much of the focus of the second game actually revolved around the announcing crew.
The game was good.
Sergio, the new American hero. We'll talk about them later. I have some thoughts on them at the 1 o'clock hour. If you follow on social, we've had Beth Mullins on this show twice. She's been a friend of ours for over a decade. She did a fantastic job last night. I can't speak for some of the other people on the broadcast, but we'll deal with the broadcasting portion of the second game of the doubleheader at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. Denver Chargers, much like the Detroit Lions, who won eight fourth quarter comebacks last year, fourth quarter comeback first game this year. The Chargers midseason form for them as well. They are 1-5 in games decided by 3 points or less since the start of last season.
I feel like they always, and I don't think they had bad luck last night, but you could argue, you know, they make the kick, timeout called. And I said, here's another one I got wrong, and not that we predicted this. I'm at my house. I go, that never works. After Joseph called the timeout and he made the first kick, I'm like, that never works.
Yeah.
And then it didn't. I mean, it worked. They blocked it. I'm like, really?
I feel like if the first kick goes in, You have to feel fine about using the timeout. I just hate when I always
when they wanted, miss the first kick.
Yeah, then it's like you just gave him a walkthrough.
Yeah,
you just gave him a walkthrough. But they were down. You know, the Chargers were down. The Los Angeles Chargers were down. I still like the North of San Diego Chargers. I think that solves everybody's problem.
I agree.
But they were down again. It looked like let's give Denver credit. By the way. They look like a very serviceable football team, whereas I had, for the most of this offseason, dismissed them, as I think many. I think any team that had as many quarterback questions as they did, you dismiss them to a certain degree.
Yeah.
And
I wondered if we all did that maybe too much, because I myself included, had Chargers. I like the Raiders. I like the Chiefs. Like, wait, Denver was the champ just 2 years ago.
Yeah.
They're built the same way. They really could do what they did 2 years ago.
So now, can we stop minimizing Peyton Manning? Can we stop minimizing Peyton Manning's impact on that championship team? Now, you just said it's constructed the same way. Everybody's a few years older, but it's constructed the same way. Who's missing? Eric Decker?
Yeah.
See, I mean, he's the one's missing. I'm sure there's a handful of other guys missing, but Peyton, what Peyton did that year as a game manager, as a quote crappy quarterback, whatever he was, has been minimized so much. It's like, okay, well, now you have Trevor Siemian and you have Paxton Lynch and Mark Sanchez or whoever else is Brock Osweiler. You have all of that there now, and you don't believe in him. You don't believe the hype.
Right.
Trevor Siemian wasn't 17 of 28 for 219 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Does that blow you away?
No.
Okay.
But it's fine.
You know who he was better than, though, which is strange. He was better than Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
Phillip Rivers wasn't particularly great last night. He was 22 of 33.
But didn't you feel like he was going to lead him to the win or the tie?
Yes.
Yeah, I did too.
One more. I think if they have one more timeout.
Mm-hmm. Which they use that in a weird way. Unsure. Wait, what? Okay, timeout.
Phillip Rivers kept going to the middle of the field there in that final few minutes, and it was like, and before they called that timeout, I think it was 44 seconds left, or it might have been less. It's like they were debating. They didn't know what to do in terms of calling the timeout or not. And tick, 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 tick. Beth Mullins is like, hey, the clock is ticking here, guys.
Right.
What are you doing? And Rex Ryan's like, you guys got to spike the ball. It might have been the best call he had all night. Because you line up. What are you guys doing? And then they call timeout. It's like, all right, now they got to go to the sidelines. Next play, middle of the field. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They're not playing for the win anymore. So that was established. They're playing for the tie. And then you ran down how that went for San Diego there at the end.
How does Phillip Rivers, by the way, have a voice? I mean, is he always yelling? Like, yelling for flags, yelling for to his receivers. It was super loud there, obviously, too. Just seems like he's always animated.
He's very animated.
Yeah.
And you either love it or it rubs you the wrong way, one or the other. I don't know what the takeaway is. You know, thankfully, we're analyzing the NFC today at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. I'm going to give you the AFC West tomorrow. Oh, no, the AFC West is mine. I don't know what to take away from these two teams.
It's a great division. The division is I'm going to say it's the best in the NFL. I thought about the NFC East can make some run at it. The NFC South, I think, can make a run at it. But top to bottom, that is really strong.
Our man Ken's calling nice and early. Let's see what's on your mind. Ken, how are you, my friend?
Pretty good, guys. How you doing today?
Doing well.
I'm absolutely loving the fact that when you look down in San Francisco, they got 30,000 people in that stadium. And I think it speaks to the fact that, you know, people might say, well, that's because of protests. No, it's not. It's because the Niners have a suck program. They are not good. They did not do anything to really improve this team. Yeah, they drafted some defensive players, but they basically told the 49er fan base, hey, we really don't think that we're going to be competitive this year, so we're going to trot Hoyer out there at quarterback. And there's nobody around that thinks that's going to make this a competitive team. And when I'm looking around the NFL and I'm looking at Tolzien playing for the Colts, and I'm looking at what some of these other quarterbacks are doing, and I think the debate is over. We know now that the league is trying to punish Colin Kaepernick for his stance. I think now at this point, it's undisputable. To see what the coach trotted out there on Sunday and to think that they're still considering starting this man this week tells me, on the professional level, isn't it supposed to be about winning? And if you're not trying to win, then what are you doing? Because at the NFL level, nobody is trying to teach lessons to people so they learn. So if this is what you're doing, if you are deliberately sabotaging your team in order to teach someone a lesson, then how do you expect fans to show up? Why should any Jets fan come to a game when that's who they're trying out at quarterback?
Well, you know what, Ken, that might be the only team where you have a legitimate argument there, because I don't think anyone believes the Jets are actually trying to win football games. The other teams, I'm sure plenty of teams will make an argument. We feel like this guy here, the argument with the Colts and Scott Tolzien was that he's been in the program for so many years. He knows the system. Yeah, that hasn't really worked out for them. The Chuck Pagano hasn't named his starter. I'd be shocked if it wasn't Jacoby Brissett, the coach you were referring to there a few minutes ago, Ken, when you were talking about Tom Savage, is Bill O'Brien. Uh-huh. Bill O'Brien hasn't named his starter, which, by the way, the Texans play in 2 days.
Yeah, and apparently today Watson took all the first team snaps, and O'Brien's
going to go.
So it's going
to
be him.
Well, he should have. But how could you have not seen this in the preseason?
Good question.
I mean, if you're really coaching and you're really aware of what's going on your team, how could you not know this in the preseason?
Yeah,
this guy is not going to be the one.
It's a great question. Yeah. It's a great question that we've been asking ourselves since halftime of that game.
So when I look around at the landscape of the NFL, I see a lot of just desserts. If, in fact, this is what you're going to do in the name of we're going to make sure we teach a lesson, then you got a lot of playoff, perhaps caliber teams that are not going to be around to take a look at what's going on. And quite frankly, you get what you deserve. Just the point I wanted to make, guys. Thanks a lot for the vines. Have a great one. Enjoy listening to you.
We always appreciate Bye-bye. You, my
Thanks,
brother.
Ken.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll touch on that in a bit of a different fashion here when we go over winners and losers at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Plenty more football to talk about. Plenty more to dig into regarding these games. An update on David Johnson. We got the time frame for you. And Adrian Peterson. There wasn't much to talk about other than the fantastic video that the camera people rolled out for ESPN yesterday, and that image of him and Sean Payton, or apparently just him being really, really angry, I guess, at the play calling or whatever it may be. We'll talk about Adrian Peterson and what his future may look like. Is this it? Is this over? Does he make it the year? Got some hot takes coming your way as we continue here with the Lowdown on Sports 1140. Time to see the return of Pro Rodeo to Marysville this Saturday and Sunday. For ticket info, go to MarysvilleStampede.com. Welcome back into the Lowdown. You heard Chris Verlaud mention there in that update, David Johnson out 8 to 12 weeks. I posed this question with Andrew Luck yesterday. Now, unlike Andrew Luck, David Johnson has been put on IR with designation to return. So that knocks him out guaranteed 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
He could be back. It could be longer. It could be 8 to 12 weeks. You know how down I am on the Arizona Cardinals, how down I am on Carson Palmer. I think this, I don't know, maybe this makes Carson Palmer thrive. I have no idea. Obviously the thought, maybe Kerwin Williams turns out to be the next Kareem Hunt. Mm-hmm. Remember, Kareem Hunt wouldn't be a conversation if Spencer Ware didn't get hurt. So, you know, there's a lot of things to kind of, you know, microscope here as the Arizona Cardinals move forward. Let's say, and it would be a first, let's say I'm right, right? And the Cardinals are really bad headed into week 12 or week 11. You don't bring him back, do you? I posed a similar question with Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck seems to be, he's likely out 4 to 5 weeks. 0-5, 1-4 is probably a lot easier to, it is a lot easier to come back than from a potentially catastrophic record for the Cardinals if things go as bad as I think they might. Would you bother bringing David Johnson back?
Yeah, that's always a tricky one to me because I don't know what he's going to feel like. I mean, I think if he wants to play, I don't think you keep him out just to keep him out. Yeah. I mean, I think you're still trying. You're going to have some home games. You're going to have some fans that want to see you play. You're still trying to build for whatever the rest of the season would be and whatever your future is. Because I think in the reality, if that's the thought process and you start to play poorly and you have a guy that's healthy, then why not shut him down? I mean, wouldn't that be the same thing if you're, let's say the Raiders, something just, it just completely falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
And they're 2-6, 2-7, 2-8 maybe, not going to make it. Do you take Carr out? Do you take Cooper? I mean, if
yeah,
they're healthy,
no,
you
no,
just
I
wouldn't
hear you.
Do that.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't basketball after all.
Yeah.
teams
and
don't,
one
teams
guy.
Don't do that. But they're not. I think there's a different sensitivity to guys coming back from injury.
That is true. No,
now,
it is not the same example.
Now,
right.
This isn't. Now I look at these two situations as entirely different. As, you know, David Johnson, we're talking about what he's having surgery on his wrist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, the chances of him injuring his wrist is probably only going to happen in a fall. Whereas with Andrew Luck, we're talking about your throwing shoulder.
Sure.
We're talking about him coming. A shoulder rehab, if you've never watched or experienced a shoulder rehab, your rehab day-to-day is like seeing how high on a wall you can touch.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes on for weeks and weeks and months and months. We're not talking about throwing footballs or throwing tennis balls. We're talking about literally just inching your hand up a wall. Oh, look, I got to the chest area. Oh, look, I can almost get to, you know, chin level. Like, that's what you're dealing with. And if you're saying Andrew Luck hasn't, you know, he's 8 months in to rehab
and still not there,
8 months post surgery. Like, where are we with him? If you're the Colts, do you have to call like a press conference? Do you got to send out a letter to your season ticket holders? Because again, he's not on IR. He can come back any day.
Right.
Unlike David Johnson, who is now out a guaranteed 8 to 12 weeks, 8 weeks for sure. Andrew Luck's not. It's every week you're going to hear, at least I imagine, I'm going to guess for at least the next 2 or 3 weeks, you're going to hear Colts rule out Andrew Luck. Every Monday, Colts rule out Andrew Luck for week 3. Colts rule out Andrew Luck for week 4. To at some point where you're going to get a story that says, okay, Andrew Luck practiced today for the first time, and by the time this gets around, it'll be 10 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's been the most unreported injury, right? I mean, maybe in Indianapolis they're talking about it all the time. We just don't, it doesn't seem like we have any clarity on what it really is and how long in the timetable.
Or why is it taking so long? Like, right. Did something go wrong?
Was there a setback? Yeah.
Did the surgery go bad? Like, I know one thing that happens a lot, and I know a big name athlete it happened with, and the name is, if I say it, you might remember. Someone had surgery, and the surgery went, they didn't tell us that the surgery went bad. And he had a second surgery. I feel like it was a basketball player. I'll look it up to see who it is when we go to commercial. But he was out for a really, really long period of time. And it wasn't until after he came back that it was acknowledged, yeah, he had a second surgery. Things went really bad after the first one. Is that what we're – did Andrew Luck have a second surgery?
No,
did something not go right?
No one's reporting that, but it could be. I mean, we don't know. It's just
been
the big mystery.
I'm just trying to figure out what the explanation is for him to be on the shelf for 9 months or 8 months. And we had heard
when was Cam's shoulder surgery? Like it was more recent, right?
I feel like it was after. I feel like it was more recent because didn't he wait?
Yeah, he wanted to see.
He wanted to rehab it, and I think he was finally told this is going to be more than
like March or April or something.
Yeah, I feel like it was several months after. Andrew Luck was almost immediately, almost immediately after it happened. But yeah, definitely. Different time frames. And he wasn't great. He wasn't terrible. Cam Newton played.
Right.
Cam Newton played in week 1
mm-hmm.
against the San Francisco 49ers. I told you there were some people in the building who were there. I text, was the stadium empty Sunday? The response was, yeah, there were a lot of empty seats. It was hot as hell, though, so not sure if it was because of the heat or lack of interest / ticket sales. It was hot Sunday. I was out at the Tamales, Tacos, Touchdowns things, and that was here.
Mm-hmm.
It was hot as hell. But
sitting in the direct sun, nowhere to escape.
I think the sun actually sits right on top of the stadium. There's no roof. I think it's just the sun that sits there. Like, I think you could touch it if you wanted to.
The game you went to last year, Dallas, was it a hot one? Or not that hot, but just because you're in the sun?
No, it was bring a sweatshirt. And then the second you got to your seat, you took it off because, again, the sun sits right above the stadium and it stares at you the entire game.
Yeah.
And then I think there's one part of the stadium that's shaded. I remember WrestleMania 31, and like half the stadium was in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
The other half was in the shade. And you had
people were
like,
fighting to get to the shade.
Like Dave Meltzer had been writing in the Wrestling Observer for his website all week. you better find out what side of the stadium you're sitting on, because one, you're going to wind up a little chilly. The other one, you're going to wind up sunburned.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the shady side.
Yeah.
It was quite comfortable until the sun went down. Then it got a little chilly.
I was on the sunny side.
I was, of course.
And I hated it.
Yeah, of course. I'm sure you did. I would have hated it too. I hate that stadium. I hate everything about Levi Stadium, except that they have vegan hot dogs there.
Yeah.
And all of the, like, burly, like, who's going to come here and eat a vegan hot dog? I actually had to say to a guy, I am.
I'm
is
the
that,
guy.
Is that weird?
Yeah.
Well, what's it taste like? It's like, dude, I'm just kidding. I'm not ordering it. But
but you could have.
I could. Actually, I think we did have one, and it was gross. But hot dogs are gross. I think the bun was gross. Everything about it was gross. I hate Levi Stadium. There, I just thought.
Just
like,
get it all out.
There's literally nothing I like about it.
Yeah. And the only time I went to one game. It was a bowl game, UCLA-Nebraska there, Foster Farms Bowl. But it was winter, and it was cold. So yeah. I didn't experience all that. But I thought the stadium was nicely designed. All that was neat, but I just hear all these horror stories.
I hate the location.
Yeah. It's nowhere. I mean, you're going to that. There's no other. You're not just, I'm just driving by. I mean, it's.
No, like.
You have to just make it a plan to go there.
You get off the freeway and it takes you, like, oh, man, this was, it's 20 minutes from my sister's house with no traffic. Mm-hmm. Oh, we made it in 20 minutes. Great. Once you get off the freeway, it's going to take you an hour to get that one road. Oh, we bought a parking pass. We can go all the way to the front. Sorry, this is sold out here.
Yeah.
We're going to need you to park. There's another lot about a mile that way.
Yeah.
Or you can go to, I think it was Quiznos, where I went to the Beyonce concert. If you buy $40 worth of sandwiches at Quiznos, you could park in their parking lot. As much as I hate that place, I've been there 3 times.
Yeah.
Cowboys, WrestleMania, and Beyonce.
Oh, a lot of sandwiches. Kill Reverb too.
I only bought sandwiches once.
Okay.
I bought a parking pass that I couldn't use once, and I don't recall what my sister handled the parking for.
Just bring FX1 on the right side. But
yeah,
just pot it all the way down.
Short little diversion of how much we hate Levi's, or how much I hate Levi's Stadium.
Know if,
what
Bobby
about you,
Jackson,
Sam? Do you hate Levi's Stadium too?
Two European guys who barely hard to understand. Start
cooking.
Speaking of reverb.
The reason being is in the northern hemisphere.
Put a little and mix
the
one.
The sun travels east to west, and it hits the south side of buildings. So I actually work in this industry. I worked. Sutter General Hospital, Mercy General Hospital, large building.
Yeah.
So had that building not been built north-south, if it had been built the other way, east-west, it would have had less of a period in the sun. So they actually built it the wrong way. Most
cool.
Large,
yeah, we're good then.
Buildings
okay.
that way.
Let's go Mike 3 and mix 1.
The sun
one.
Is always to our south. We're looking south at the sun as it travels over the path of the day. So, and at a football stadium, shaped like an oval. So, if you put the broader side,
and we need to find 2 more mics,
bearing that heat from the entire day, as opposed to the short side, like most stadiums, you'd have been all right. Anyway, that's the reason.
Sam, we appreciate you, my man. Thank you. That right there is why I believe we are the greatest radio show in the world, because of that right
that
there.
Answer. Tear it down and build it again.
Yeah, fix it.
Yeah.
Fix it. Come on, man. You got fans out there cooking, and we're going to be cooking literally and figuratively. You can join 1140 at the Downtown Chowdown, where music and food collide. It's happening October 15th at Capitol Mall. Enjoy 50-plus food trucks, games, music from Philip Phillips and Chase Bryant, and more. Go to KHDK.com for more info. We're back. The Indians keep winning. The Dodgers keep losing. That's next on the Lowdown.
I think we struck a nerve with some 49er fans here on the text line. There's a lot of conversations going on about that stadium
down there
in Santa Clara.
They're venting or they're trying? No one's defending the stadium, are they?
No.
Okay.
Not one single person who has texted us. And this text line has been hot since we got here at 12 o'clock and I started calling the Chargers the San Diego Chargers. So, no one is defending that stadium at all. And it's amazing. I always laugh when I go to my sister. The climate difference in that, 30-mile stretch or whatever it is from San Francisco to Santa Clara. Mm-hmm. Or even San Francisco, to my sister's kind of in the Palo Alto area. It's just so dramatically different.
Yeah.
It's like going from the East Coast to the West Coast.
Right.
Like you're preparing for two entirely different cities.
Mm-hmm.
Time to see the return of the Pro Rodeo to Marysville this Saturday and Sunday. For ticket info, go to MarysvilleStampede.com. We'll get into baseball here in just a heartbeat. We got something we're going to debut at the top of the 1 o'clock hour called One Small Thought. Jay Ross and I will touch on the broadcast from last night, the second Monday night football game. We'll also talk about every single team in the NFC. Also at the very top of the 2 o'clock hour, your next keyword, your next opportunity to be a part of the Wingstop soundstage with your favorite Sacramento Kings legends, Vladdy, Bobby, Peja, and our very own DC, Del Christie. Adrian Peterson, I'm going to give you a number here. Over, under, 1.5. 1.5 more teams that Adrian Peterson plays for before his career is over.
Under.
Do you think he plays for at least one more, or do you think this is it?
This is it or one more.
I'm wondering, does he make it through the year?
What was interesting last, I mean, the stats aren't there. Like, the first couple times I saw him run, I went, man, he looks good. Like, I thought he was running hard. He looked like the same guy, but there weren't the results. It was just like the running violently guy was still there.
Yeah.
Just Minnesota's defense didn't let him do anything.
He's 32.
Mm-hmm.
I know Ricky Williams was really good when he came back from a sabbatical. And, you know, Adrian Peterson had the suspension year. By the way, does anybody look at Adrian Peterson different after the still shots of that exchange with Sean Payton came out? Because the running joke was, okay, we couldn't see it before.
Yeah.
It was child abuse. Adrian Peterson, no way. And then you saw the look on his face talking to Sean Payton.
Yeah.
And then you saw all the get the switch comments on Twitter. It was like, oh, okay, there's that guy.
Yeah.
There was no creativity for the people who text me, tweeted, that's how he looks at his kids.
Right.
When they're heading to the butt-whooping room.
Right.
That was weird. And they both downplayed it.
Yeah.
Of course, like you'd expect, they both downplayed it. But I thought the whole dynamic between Sean Payton, that team, and Adrian Peterson, I thought it was weird.
Yeah, I want to see more, I guess, where it's going to be. It's just, I don't even remember what the run distribution list was between him, Kamara, Ingram. It was just nobody really got going, so they tried them all. But I think it's a tough team to run against.
6 for all day, 7 for Kamara, 6 for Ingram, 1 for Ginn.
Yeah.
That's it.
So I think they wanted to run more, started trailing, had to pass more, and playing catch up.
And they all had about the same amount of yards, 18, 18, and 17.
And I don't think they targeted Peterson, if I remember right, in the game. I don't think he caught a pass or even had one thrown to him.
He was targeted one time.
Okay.
And that's been the knock on him, right? He doesn't catch passes out of the backfield.
And that's why I think they like Kamara a little bit. Ingram's done a better job over that the last couple of years. So, tough matchup for them. No excuse. Minnesota totally outplayed them. But like we said earlier, the tough encore is New England.
Right, which is why I don't see them fixing their problems against New England. If he wound up on a different team this season, I don't think I'd be terribly stunned. But I think I'd take the under. I think he's got one more team in him. But I don't think I imagine he's going to want to play after that one team because he's going on year-to-year deals, I'd imagine, at this point. And yes, it's one game. We're overreacting. But that's we got one sample size to work with. We got to overreact. We got 3 hours to fill here. He's going to want to play again.
And I would think so, yeah.
He's just going to hit that point in running backs where they look at him and go, nah.
Not on our team.
Sorry, man.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit anymore. If I told you a month ago the Indians were going to win 19 games in a row or the Dodgers were going to lose 11 in a row, which would you have believed?
Gosh, neither. But if I had to pick one, maybe the Dodgers.
Way the Dodgers were playing. Best team ever, question mark. By the way, the Sports Illustrated jinx is real.
Yeah.
You could blame this all on those folks at Sports Illustrated. You would have thought they could possibly lose 11 in a row. Remember, they had lost, 12 out of 67 games?
Mm-hmm.
You could have pegged them for losing 11?
I don't know. I would never have guessed it, but
we saw Cleveland win 14 last year.
But this is 19?
They're streaky.
Yeah.
They're going for the record to tie the Oakland A's record tonight for most in, 50 years, 60 years?
Yeah. The stat that I saw yesterday that was great. So on August 25th, L.A. was 91-36. Cleveland was 72-56. They have closed, not that they're in the same division, but Cleveland in 17 days has closed 15.5 games on the Dodgers. That's crazy.
Wow.
That is absolutely crazy. And they're just rolling. And the Dodger game last night was weird. I was flipping the channels, watching the NFL game. Then later in the night, I'm looking, wait, why is the Giants game is on now? It's in the third inning? Well, they had a long rain delay, and then they were playing late last night.
The game ended at 2:10 a.m.
I wondered. I was watching for a while. I'm like, I'm not going to. It was 4-4 in like the fourth inning, and it was probably 11-something. I'm like, when is this one going to finish? So,
2:10 a.m. The hour, the rain delay, I think was 3 hours and 38 minutes, mm-hmm. and the game was 3 hours and 20 minutes.
Oof. And then now they get...
And the fans who made it through the game were celebrating, which I thought was fantastic. Yeah. I thought that was so funny.
I think tonight's Kershaw. Now, they've lost with him already, so that's their best guy. We'll see. I mean, if the Giants, who are one of the worst, continue to beat the Dodgers, something's up.
Ball players get to the games. They get to the park so early.
Yeah.
These teams are going to be dead tonight. Like, or either that or they're going to have to deviate
change
from their
routine.
Pregame routines. Like, right. They can't get there as early as they normally do. Like, there's probably guys there now for the game at 7. There's guys there now.
Yeah, I know.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that's about right.
Baseball players are nuts.
Right. And I don't know what – I think a lot of times they're just goofing off. I can't say always goofing off, but I think they just like to be there. But, I mean, what are they doing for these couple of hours? Before, you know, there's BP and fielding and different things.
Today?
Yeah.
Imagine some of them are sleeping.
Yeah.
They're curled up by the locker room.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, that game ended at 2:10. It was fantastic because watching the early morning Sports Center crew try to break that game. Like, yeah, this game just ended a few hours ago.
Exactly.
Not a bad deal for them. But the Indians continue to roll. 19, they'll go for 20 tonight if they can get to 20. They'll be tied with your Oakland A's, the Moneyball A's from 2002.
Crazy.
20-game win streaks are hard to fathom. Even in a sport that plays 164 mm-hmm. regular season games, that's an incredible. When they were at 15, when Chuck and I were talking about it, hey, you know, part of the Friday Five, watch, they got a series coming up with Baltimore Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's like to get to we're talking about a 5-game win streak. That's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get to 20, we're adding 5 onto the 15 that they're already at. That seems didn't even seem fathomable. It's like, yeah, I don't think they'll get through the weekend, but I sure hope they do because it'll be fun.
And now they're just smoking people. Like yesterday, just easy. It's like they're so confident. And, you know, obviously it can end at any moment, but just they couldn't possibly have more confidence.
Indians lose, Dodgers win. Which happens first?
I think the Dodgers are going to win today.
Tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got a fun 1 o'clock hour on the way. We're going to debut a new segment called One Small Thought. And the Lakers, the Los Angeles Lakers, are retiring 2 jerseys. And the Warriors, they just got a little bit richer. We'll explain all of that as we continue here with hour number 2 of the Lowdown on Sports 1140.